الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with ability, but at the same time, He has also created us with limits. And the deen appreciates those limits and reminds us of them. This is something that we have to, as a people who are striving in deen, this is something that we have to appreciate and we have to recognize. For example, you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes so many different, or has allowed for so many different pathways into Jannah. There's many, many different ways to get into Jannah. People can fast and go to Jannah. People can go to Jannah through their salah. People can go through Jannah through their studies. People can go through Jannah through their character. People can go through Jannah through going for Hajj. You know, the reward for an accepted Hajj is nothing other than Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created this one rigid way by which every single person has to do all these amazing things, and only after they do all these amazing things will they be able to reach Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with limits. We're relatively weak, and we only have certain ability to do certain things. I mean, we pick up one foot off the ground, nobody in this room can pick up the second foot off the ground. It's very limited, the abilities that we have. And this is something that we as human beings, we have to appreciate. Because if we don't appreciate them, then what ends up happening is that we burn out and we are not able to reach our goal. So I'll just give you maybe a little bit of a background. Let me just say that we're limited in many different ways. We're limited physically, we're limited spiritually, we're limited emotionally. Okay, for example, physically. Human beings have the ability to do only so much physically. And if they exceed that ability, they damage themselves. For example, human beings have an ability to pick up a certain amount of weight. If they pick up more than that weight, they can strain their back. Human beings have a certain amount of time that they can stay awake. If they try to stay awake more than that, they become sick. Human beings can run a certain distance. And if they run beyond that, it's detrimental to their health. So human beings, they have a capacity. They have a bearing capacity. There's a limit to what people can do. And the deen doesn't try to push us beyond that limit. The deen recognizes that limit and tempers a person back from that so that they don't expose the weakness that's in them. It's a very, very balanced thing. For example, people who try to, there were people at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ who insisted on fasting perpetually. You know, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, okay, fast this, and then if not, fast this, and then if not, fast this, and if not, fast this, and eventually said, you can fast every other day, but that's the max. That's the max. And that was, upon the insistence of the companion. That what can I do more? What can I do more? What can I do more? Rasulullah ﷺ didn't assign that. That person insisted, and tried to push the limit, so much so that he himself comments much later, after the passing of Rasulullah, that I wish I never asked a question. I wish I never pushed my limit, because it became very burdensome on him to maintain that every other day fast. We're human beings. We have a certain capacity. We have a certain limit. The deen appreciates that. It doesn't expect us to fly through the air. It doesn't expect us to be able to jump all these hoops. Instead, the deen balances us and says, okay, this much, you know, this is how you have to achieve this. And the beauty is, instead of asking us to do more, the deen establishes what we should aim for and then gives us more. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the paradigm such that we do something and we get 10 times the reward. Or maybe we get in the month of Ramadan and we get, you know, exponentially more reward. Or we get to the haram and we get a certain reward. Or we get to the masjid and we get more reward. It isn't that you have to do more. It's that Allah gives more. Based on a very little bit of effort. Based on a very little effort. I mean, honestly, you know, there's people in the room who went for Hajj. I mean, what was the effort in Hajj? Yeah, I mean, it's, in this day and age, I mean, it's easy, so it's hard, it's easy to say. But, you know, what was the effort that was really made? People got on a plane, they bought a ticket. On the plane, they give you so many meals that you're sick of eating, right? And the plane is air-conditioned. You're so cold that you have to wear a blanket, right? Because it's so comfortable. And eventually you land and you get there and then you go to the airport and maybe you have to wait a few hours and everybody's giving you drinks and food while you're waiting. And then eventually you go from one place to another, it's air conditioned, there's food given, and you know, I'm not saying there isn't struggle involved, but for the reward of Jannah and the struggle that people had to make before, the ratio of how much you have to give and how much you get out, the input's minimum, the output's enormous. It should have been that we would have to walk the whole globe 20 times and you get Jannah, and people would be lining up to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very easy, so much so that the person just has to end up in Arafah. They end up in Arafah for a millisecond, boom, it's over. They're forgiven and come out as a newborn baby and with a good intention, and so long as they didn't do anything negative, the reward is Jannah. Yeah, avoiding sin, there's a huge emphasis on. I mean, the deen places an emphasis on that, but there's no effort required there. In fact, it's easy. You just have to not do those things. Physically, it's easier. It's much harder to actually do sin. You have to go, you have to find it, you have to travel, you have to get involved in it. To avoid sin is actually easy, physically. You just sit at home or avoid that environment. So the deen appreciates that human beings have limitations. And the deen creates so many conduits for an individual who has a good intention to be able to earn a very high reward with a very minimal effort. And this is something that we have to appreciate, because what happens is that we get excited. When we get excited, we want to do more. And when we want to do more, it's good initially, but we burn out. And if we burn out, then shaitan is the winner, because what actually results in far more reward is consistency. Why? Because life is not a race. It's not a sprint. You don't just get excited and start running towards a goal and you get to that goal. Life is long. It's a marathon. We have to pace ourselves. Now, shaitan actually excites a person. Because shaitan's vision is far and his planning is deep. So one of the ways by which he actually makes a person fail is to excite them towards deen, get them excited, have them do a whole bunch of things today so that they get tired by tomorrow. And once they're tired, then he knows that he knows the benefits of long-term continuity. This is why the deen tells us what? أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ لَلَّهِ أَدْوَمْ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْقَلْ. That the most beloved of deeds to Allah is the consistent one. Even if it's minimal. Even if it's minimal. So essentially, what are we being told? We don't have to try to hyper-exert ourselves in a limited period of time. We need to do a small amount every single day, and it's that small amount that actually results in benefit and actually decreases the likelihood of failure. Because of fatigue or because of injury. So for example, a person wants to progress in the path of anything. what allows people to succeed in the path of any endeavor is consistent, regular effort, even for a small period of time. If somebody gets hyper excited about hifz and memorizes the whole Quran in a year, but never touches it again, there's a huge detriment there. But if somebody's balanced about their hifz and they do 1 hour every single day for the rest of their life, that's going to be an enormous reward. Not only will they earn the hifz eventually, but they will be also very regular in their Quran for the rest of their lives. I think I told you the story. There's a brother, he used to memorize Quran just in the car on the way back and forth from work. And one day I asked him a question about something, you know, like, what are you doing in Ramadan? Like, or he might have asked me some side question. And then it came out, in casual conversation, it came out that I'm actually Hafiz, I'm going to recite the whole Quran at home. I said, what? I never even knew you were doing hifz. Are you doing hifz or do you work? I'm like, no, I work full time. But over the last 7, 8 years, whatever that period was, on my way to work, I stop, I recite to the teacher, and then I drive to work, I memorize. On the way home in the car, I drive home, I memorize, and the person became a Hafiz of Quran. So much so that they can lead the whole Quran by themselves in their home. How many people sit in a madrasa for 2-3 years on end, right, and put all this energy and excitement into it, and then they don't have even that to show? Consistency always wins out. Person crams for an exam, they remember the material for the exam. Person studies every day, they remember the material for life. So if you're learning for an exam, the best way to get through it is to just study for the exam and forget about it. But if you're learning for life, to advance yourself, to benefit yourself and the people around you, to be able to take that knowledge and make a contribution, it requires consistent effort. And it never ends. That's the way that we're designed. We cannot avoid it. People get excited, they hear a talk about something, they get excited and they go ahead and they, you know, do act on it in a very extreme way, which is not bad. I'm not denying that. You know, there's a talk about giving money for some cause and everybody gets excited and then they give, let's say, a relatively large amount for them. They would achieve far more if they just gave a small amount every day. They would achieve far more benefit and they would achieve far more in the amount that they gave summated over their life. That's the way we're created. That's the way we succeed. People get excited, you know, we're people who are doing their routine of dhikr and they're progressing in their dhikr. They sit down and they'll say, I did an hour of dhikr. I did 2 hours of dhikr. That does not impress me. That just means that the person felt so upset because they didn't do it for the last 2 months that they decided to sit for 1 hour today, which basically means they won't be sitting tomorrow. Far more impressive is a person who consistently does 10 minutes every day. Because 10 minutes will take you much further. It's like exercise. Who's gonna benefit? You could say, I went to the gym and I just got excited and I pushed 200 pounds up and down. So what happens? A person gets injured and they get nothing. Because they didn't do anything the day after and the day after and the day after. But a person who exercises every single day consistently, they're the ones that benefit. And just like anything in life, once you leave it, the benefits disappear within 3 days. Very quickly, the benefits disappear. So we are people who are consistent in our effort because that's the way we're designed. We can't do it any other way. That is just the nature of who we are. If in anything that we want to succeed in, whether that be our interactions with others, whether that be our studies, whether that be our ibadah, whether that be a consistent desire to advance in deen. It is not a race, it's a marathon. It is not a race, it's a marathon. A race is something you run as fast as possible so that you're out of breath within a few minutes. A marathon is something that you run over a very long period of time at a very consistent pace because you have a goal of getting to the end. So what is life? Life, we don't just run through junior year of high school and it's done. There's going to be a senior year and there's going to be a freshman year in college. We consistently make an effort until the day that we die. So we have a goal of getting all the way till the end and we have to take this deen with us. Now you'll see what happens is human beings, they burn out. People who are too excited, people who are trying to do too much, people who aren't balanced, they burn out. I see this in my own profession. You know, doctors, one of the biggest thing about doctors, by the time they're 40, 45, they're so tired, they're so burnt out, they're so sick of everything, that they're just dragging their feet. And this is very common. It's very common in every profession, by the way. This is why by the time people turn 45, they're all looking to do something else. The doctor wants to be a teacher. The teacher wants to be a doctor. It's all about everybody's upside down. Even though they spent so many decades, you know, getting a certain skill, everybody's burnt out. Because we are human beings. We have limited ability. There has to be a time for sleep. There has to be a time for exercise. There has to be a time for when there has to be downtime. If there's going to be uptime, there has to be downtime. And that is the way that human beings are programmed. They can't avoid it. And if they don't recognize that, what ends up happening is that they put extreme stress on themselves. And when they put extreme stress on themselves, they'll reveal one of three problems. Either they get physically injured, or they get emotionally injured, or they get psychologically injured. And this is very common. In this day and age, this is very common. People get stressed and they get physically injured. They start getting sick. They start getting ill. Their body can't do what it used to do. They get psychologically injured. They begin to reveal various propensities that are present in them genetically. People get emotionally injured. They can't interact anymore with people. Deen is very balanced. SubhanAllah, you read the advice. All this talk is coming because I was thinking about the advice of our elders concerning Hajj. This is what this is all stemming from. The advice of our elders concerning Hajj was what? Was don't do too much. Be very careful about how you approach the Hajj. Don't do too much emotionally. Don't do too much psychologically. Don't do too much worrying. Don't do too much physically. For example, you'll see that the ulama are very clear. The mashayikh are very clear. When you go for Hajj, don't get caught up in trying to do so many umrahs before that you burn yourself out. Just do one umrah and sit, relax. You're already getting Jannah. What are you going to get, two Jannahs? And the whole thing is already designed to give you one Jannah. What are you trying to show? What are you trying to achieve? That zealousness that arises, yes, it's a natural zealousness, but don't think that it's not embellished by shaitan. So there's a really like deep understanding of our scholars. They say, you know, you do one umrah, and that's you do your dhabiha, the sacrifice of the meat for shukr of that, and that's it. Relax, enjoy your time in Mecca. And if you're not in Mecca, relax, enjoy your time in Aziziyah. Don't try to run here and run there and go here and go there. Rest for the Hajj. Rest for the Hajj. I mean, anybody in their right mind would say, I came all the way to Mecca. Let me do one extra umrah. Let me do so many different extra tawafs. Let me spend so much time in the masjid. Let me prepare myself. No. Surrender to Allah. Show Allah that you're weak. Show Allah that you recognize your weaknesses, your limitations. That's actually ibadah. So much of ibadah is to just succumb and to recognize that I'm nothing. Ya Allah, you are the one that's all powerful. You are the all knowing. You are the all wise. I'm nothing. That is ibadah. Ibadah is the lowering of a human being in the face of the great Lord. That's ibadah. Now, ibadah has different subsets, or salah, sawm, zakah, hajj. But that, essentially, that's the definition of ibadah. That's why they say that, that's why it's stated that dua is the core of ibadah. Why is dua the core of ibadah? Because in dua, a person lowers themselves and says, I can't do this, ya Allah, only you can. It highlights the essence of ibadah. So you look at the advices of Hajj. This is what the advice of Hajj is. And the advices of Hajj are not only physical, they're emotional. Be careful with whom you go with. Don't try to do too much. Don't try to bring your long-lost relative that you've been fighting with 36 years for. Don't bring them in the same group as you. Be careful. Don't travel with... if there's tension between in-laws, don't travel with in-laws. Don't bring your relations that have conflict with one another. Like, oh, this is Hajj, we're all going to get excited, we're all going to do it perfectly, and it's just going to be, everybody with a bed of roses and handing out candy to each other. It doesn't work that way. And the deen recognizes that. And the ulama, they advise that. They're very clear about these, about all these different parameters concerning Hajj. So we are human beings. We have limitations. We lower ourselves before our Lord. And we don't have to try to do more than we're able to do. And the other beautiful thing about the deen, as opposed to school, when you go to school, or when we go to school, everybody is compared according to one standard. And it's the highest standard. So what do they say? They say that the 99th percentile is the top student. And then everybody else is below them. Right? That's the way the comparisons are made. So you're in the 99th percentile, but because if you're not, you're in the 50th, which means that you're 50 below the 99th. You're in the 30th, which means that you're, you know, the 69 below the 99th. So they start the bar up here, and then they bring everybody down. The deen does the opposite. The deen says, whoever says, La ilaha illallah, dakhal al-jannah. Here's the bar. Everybody else goes up. It's a completely opposite the paradigm. It puts so much less stress on a person. Even in Hajj, the deen says, Rasulullah says, the only one who can leave with any sin from Arafah is the one who thinks that Allah didn't forgive them. That's the only sin that a person can have when they leave from Arafah. Meaning, don't even worry about it. Don't even take the emotional stress of wondering. Because naturally, when there's a very big thing, a person wonders, did I pass, did I fail? Right? I mean, if a person takes a major exam, then the first thing that happens after the exam is they wonder when the score is going to come. They keep looking. When is the score going to come? When is the score going to come? I think I shared the story with you when we used to take finals at the university. We would take the final. We wouldn't be relaxed. We would be more tense after the final. Because they used to post the grades. This was before all this internet. They used to post the grades. So you have to run to the Science Learning Center every morning and run and look. Did the professor post everyone's grades? What was the mean? What was the deviation? Here's my ID code. Here's my grade. So people used to take the exam and then they used to go back and forth 3-4 times a day to go look for the results. Everybody was more panicked after the exam than actually during the exam. Because they were all worried, did they fail or did they pass? And with Hajj, it's the opposite. It's an exam. At the end of the exam is you have to only show up. Whoever shows up in Arafah gets the reward. That's it. There's no other requirement. You just have to show up. And after the exam, the only one who fails is the one who thinks they failed. The only one who can fail Arafah is the one who thinks that they failed. So long as you don't think you failed, so long as you think you passed, you passed. That's the way the deen is constructed. So what does that do? That depressurizes the situation. That creates a lot of space for people to relax and be comfortable and be grateful. And to be grateful to Allah. That's what the deen is. The deen is recognizing that despite my limitations and my inability to worship Allah the way He deserves to be worshipped, He fills in the gaps and rewards me according to His reward. That's the summary of deen. That's what we celebrate. That's what we celebrate in the Hajj. A whole bunch of people come asking for a very big thing and they present very little in return. A whole bunch of people come asking for the biggest reward possible and present nothing in return. That's the celebration. And Allah gives to everyone more than they can imagine. Only Allah can do that. Only this deen can create a circumstance that would be so enjoyable, that would be so celebrated. And then the deen on top of that says, in response, you celebrate that. And don't celebrate one day. Celebrate 3 days. That's how big Allah's mercy is. Celebrate 3 days because of such a big amount of forgiveness that occurs on that day, on the day of Arafah. So this is the deen that Allah bestowed upon us, and this is something that we celebrate, and it should not create tension in a person. It should create joy in a person. Of course, we should make effort, and when effort is made, effort should be made in a serious way. But it should be balanced and consistent, and it should be realistic. You know, we create these paradigms in our mind, like everybody has to do X, but that doesn't come from deen. That comes from the dunya. That comes from this dunyawi idea that there's this 99th percentile and that everybody's somehow less than that. And the question is, how much less are we? I mean, look, you know, there's this notion like, you know, there's so much tension on people to do HIF nowadays. Yes, everybody should make an effort for HIF. But doesn't mean everybody has to become a Hafiz. In fact, I will tell you, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. Right? Rasulullah said, the one who struggles with their HIF actually gets a greater reward than the one who succeeds. The one who struggles with their HIFs actually gets a greater reward than the one who succeeds. Meaning the 99th percentile is down here, right? The greatest criterion is down here. Everybody else can be above it. That's the way the deen is constructed. That's the way that the deen guides us. So what does it mean? It means that we don't have to worry about the result. Allah takes that pressure off of us. We just have to make an effort. And every person who makes an effort, Allah will always reward them. And whatever is done, Allah will always capture it and always know it. We don't even have to worry about showing Allah because Allah is all-seeing. We don't even have to worry about reminding Allah because Allah is all-knowing. All the pressure has been taken off of us. So this is something that we should celebrate. This is not something that should create stress in people. When people get stressed, it just creates so many more problems physically, spiritually, emotionally. So the simple message of today is that when we look at Hajj, it has many different angles from which we gain so many benefits. But perhaps one of the biggest lessons is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have those expectations of us to somehow be perfect. Allah only expects us to have a perfect hope in Him and to have a perfect intention towards Him. And then whatever we present, so long as we present it with hope and the best effort that we can reasonably make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills in the details, fills in the deficits, multiplies the reward, and then provides a reward that only He can provide. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to be consistent in our efforts, and we ask that He make us among those who are able to celebrate His extreme mercy and His reward. Wa akhira da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.